Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Back in August, I wrote a poem that I'm going to take off from this morning. I'd like to read it to you and then kind of divide it up into three sections and talk about it. It's called Mountains and Rivers Are Just So. In the quiet mountain air, the leaves rustle. Who sees their original face reflected in the babbling stream? In the Heart Sutra, it says, with no hindrance in the mind, no hindrance, therefore no fear. Next section says, many opportunities are lost. Mostly you don't know they passed you by. The repository consciousness reflects the past, surfacing like reflections in a mirror. Heart Sutra says, far beyond mistaken fantasy, at last there is nirvana. Last section says, be at peace, let the past go. Clear mirror, clear mind. Mountains and rivers are just so. Gate gate paragate parasamgate bodhisaha. So the first section, in the quiet mountain air, the leaves rustle, who sees their original face reflected in the babbling stream. This is having a mind clear like space and being present to the moment and seeing things just as they are. The second section, many opportunities are lost. Mostly you don't know the path that they passed you by. The repository consciousness reflects the past, surfacing like reflections in a mirror. So this is all of our history, our memories, our karma, if you will, how we view the world, the decisions we've made in our life that brought us to the point we're in now, the circumstances that have come about as causes and conditions from our habit energy of looking at things a certain way. That's why opportunities pass us by, because we're stuck in our deluded view of how things are. Because we think we're right, because we think we know, based on repository consciousness, which is nothing but a record of our experience. And we use this to dominate our experience in the moment. It's just the babbling stream. So the next section says, be at peace, let the past go, clear mirror, clear mind. Mountains and rivers are just so. This is nirvana. This is having a mind clear like space. So, any thoughts or comments about what I read and talked about today?
How long did it take to
How is that work?
A couple minutes. I think so, yeah. I think I was in a very reflective state and needed to put something down on paper, as other poets in the room understand. It's like, you know, you just have to. So it was a reflection of my own experience and at the same time, something I wanted to put out there and share.
Yes. I enjoyed that poem. Thank you for writing it and thank you for sharing it. Ideally, I would like to be able to realize the standards, for lack of a better term, that the poem represented to me. It's, I guess, in the interpretation, I kind of got stuck. Even more specifically, the idea of the using my past experience to determine what's real or what's not real. I'm not sure how else I can discern that. I mean, as quiet as I can be, as reflective as I can be, I still have to ultimately take an action. And I guess I primarily rely on my past experience to try to figure out what's the right thing to do, if anything.
Yeah, well, the water that flows over the stones in the Babbling Creek, does it rely on its past? Does it find its way around each obstacle and continue on its way without relying on the last experience of the last rock? It's water. It flows. It's totally in the moment. It doesn't rely on that. Yet there's also the condition that water is. Water has certain properties. So do you. And you can only work with those properties. One of those properties is water. Another one is fire and air. So, you know, when you cut it down to basics in the moment and you're not relying heavily on opinions and ideas, but you're just trying to reflect what's happening right here, right now, and what can I do? How can I help? Then you do it. Then you're just water flowing around the obstacles. You're not relying on ideas from the past that may or may not be right in this circumstance. So, yeah, it's okay. You know, that's all there. That's history. But that's not now. It's history. Even though you have a recipe to cook the same damn meal every time, it will never be the same. You may remember it as being perfect. What a great meal. Let's have it again. So maybe if you're living in the past, as you're tasting the meal from the past, not the present one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's helpful. And so, if the babbling brook in the water has to change course, because let's say a tree falls into the river, right, and now the water has to find another way to continue to flow.
Correct.
And that's because there's a tree there. So
apparently
to be able to react to the tree.
Oh, the level to this, you know, where there's no tree. But we won't go there right now.
Well, maybe a tree's a bad example, but things constantly change.
Yes.
And I have to determine what's real and what's not, and how can I help, like you said.
Well, real is right there. It's not something to determine. It just is. It's suchness. Rivers and mountains are just so. Just like that.
How about people? Are they just so?
Of course.
Okay. And if I think that what someone is doing or choices they're making are honest and that they're trying to do good, their motives are pure, and they're acting out of love, not fear, and it turns out that I have evidence to the contrary, I feel like I have a obligation, especially if somebody's being harmed.
Well, here's the thing about it. I was in therapy. I'm going to just relate a personal experience that is kind of about this subject. I was in therapy one time about my relationships with women. And I was under this impression because of my past history that I was being cheated on. The therapist says to me, "That's on her, not on you. You have to have your best experience of your life. You can't control hers. If someone does something that's harmful and you're not doing something that's harmful, it's not on you." Okay. Now, I'm not suggesting there aren't courses of action to take. There's a difference between making something out of the situation, using your ego, using your depository consciousness to create a situation that you believe is real. That is so different from seeing from a clear space, how can I help? Maybe you can't help. Maybe the best help you can give is not getting in the way and letting it run its course. I don't know. I'm not part of this situation you're in, and I have no idea what the correct course of action is. But I just am suggesting that you be careful about interjecting yourself where you don't belong. That's all.
I understand, and that's good advice. I'm thinking about, to play devil's advocate, for lack of a better way to express it, the situation where you see a child being abused by a parent in a public place. Many people wouldn't intervene. They say, it's not my business. It's not like the kid's being tortured. It's just being abused.
There's lots of different ways to be helpful in a situation that are not intervening in the sense of imposing your will. So there's a difference between imposing your will because you think you're right and being helpful in the situation. There's just a difference. And it has a lot to do with how free you are of your own tendencies to behave in a certain way. So if you're free in the situation, like the water to flow, then you can be much more helpful than if you're just another rock in the stream. That's all I'm going to say about it.
I think the right thing to do in the child abuse is to call maybe a police officer or whatever.
I don't know what the right thing is. I don't know. Don't know. Don't know. It's probably the correct thing to do. Of course, you intervene. I get it. Sure. But we're just talking hypothetically here. Who knows what the right thing to do is until you're in the situation.
Well, what we're trying to do is be as bodhisattva-like as we can, right? We're trying to act like bodhisattvas, whatever the problem that we observe.
We're not trying to act like bodhisattvas.
That's my standard. That's what I've gotten from your teaching and from my practice. Yeah.
No, my point is you are to be a bodhisattva.
Okay. Well, I fall far short of that goal.
Of course. Why do you think we take the bodhisattva vows? Just keep taking them.
That's not a binding thing.
Not a binding
thing. Isn't it a binding thing?
Yes, it's written in blood. Especially when there's a full moon, we get together and sacrifice a little bit to make sure it's exactly correct.
I guess I'm just going to continue to suffer.
You're doing fine. I don't expect you to accept everything I say, you know, or to understand it or appreciate it. You know, you take what you can use and you leave the rest. I'm just sharing what I experience.
I appreciate it and I respect your opinion.
Well, thank you. Anybody else?
Well, it's a kind of a recurring thing, isn't it? How do we use our instruction, our teaching, our learnings to apply to dilemmas that we face during our life?
Yes.
As we go along. And my sense is, you know, it's like Yoda, do or not do. It's like, hey, it's you try, what's that? Just do it or don't do it. And it'll come out. I mean, I even see like the Dalai Lama is reconsidering how we should be addressing the situation in Tibet with the Chinese government. And he's been doing this for how many years? And this man, if anybody would know, I would think he'd have insights to, you know, which step. But he's saying, maybe this isn't right. Maybe we need to reconsider. Maybe we're going to try something else. Okay. I'm not sure that you think, first thought, best thought. Maybe, maybe not. It's like, that's the point here is that you just got to do what you need to do and that's it. And maybe it'll be right. Maybe it won't.
Thank you. Good point.
Every decision opens up a whole new reality. So you have something in front of you.
Yep.
And you make your best decision of what the right thing is. And if it's wrong, then that's the new reality. And now you have to react to that reality to make the best decision from there on.
And it's just, yes.
Sometimes it'll be right. Sometimes it'll be wrong. But as long as you stay open like water, that's the idea, it seems to me.
Yes. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. I just wanted to share a piece of advice I got. I have Tibetan cards that I refer to regularly. And one day I got this advice from a card and it said, when you have an impulse to do something, don't. And that has been very helpful.
Yes. Thank you for that one.
I look at that as when I have an impulse, don't react, but meditate on it or ponder it. And when I feel like I know as best as I can, what the right action to take is, then take the action. But anytime I react, especially out of emotion, then invariably I mess things up, including myself.
Thank you. Yes.
I'd was thinking the same thing in a different way, but we had an experience this week where somebody in our family was very impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
And I find when somebody else is very impulsive, it kind of pushes my impulsive button. And then I have to really, really work hard at noticing it mm-hmm. and responding differently. And it's like you said, you bring your past with you and your responses with you.
Yeah.
But it was great. And it was a wonderful thing not to do that, but it was not easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you're just saying reminds me of a saying that I say all the time about meditation is we're getting to know ourselves, and getting to know yourself, you know, releases you from all this so that you can act more freely in the situation. Doesn't mean that it's not of value. Of course, it's of value to you, your past and your history, because you can learn from it and not continue a pattern that you now recognize, as we're just discussing, actions lead to consequences, and now you know that that consequence isn't one you want anymore. So you do what Nancy suggests and go, whoa, wait a minute, and then you figure it out. So yeah, that's great.
I gotta say though that spending time here and doing this study really drives people around you nuts. Because you don't take an opinion as much as maybe you would in the past. Like I have a friend who's constantly hitting me up at any spare moment to disrupt silence with some kind of political thought, and he's just coming at me, and he says like I go into a shell and put my head in the sand. But I say to him, like, but it seems like all you really want from me is a reaction. So you want me to be incensed? I was like, okay, but what are you hoping to get? Like, are we going to take this into some kind of charge to actually affect real change in the world? Or is really we just going to sit with this kind of uncomfortable feeling? And I was like, so like, what's the point? Like, I think he's just like, I just want you to react. That's just like, that doesn't seem to be the smart thing to do anymore.
Yeah.
People just seem to want a reaction.
Yeah.
From you.
Yeah.
But you don't give it to them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It really drives them nuts.
That's a really interesting point, because I have experienced that within the Sangha here.
Yeah.
There have been people who have come and gone who, I mean, I was confused at first. Wait a minute. Why have they gone all of a sudden? What did I do something wrong? And it's that. They're not getting the reaction they want. They're not getting what they want from you. So sometimes that means your paths are done.
Yeah.
Because they're cutting their losses and going somewhere else to find what they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate. It makes you sad because, you know, you feel both of you are losing out, right? Because maybe a friendship's going down the tubes. But it could also go another way. You know, like my wife, for example, when I started getting back into my practice, like, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe 15 years ago, I started sitting again after taking a hiatus for a little while. And she noticed the differences in me. And she said, you know, you're really different. My mother did too. She said, what's up with you? You're different.
Mm.
You know, and so some people will really appreciate it. Some people won't.
Mm.
Karmically, it is what it is. And sometimes those people come back to you and go, you know, mm-hmm. you had a point. So you just let it go, because you can't be everything to everybody or anything to anybody.
Well, it gave me a moment where I reflect and I go, like, am I putting my head in the sand? Am I just avoiding the troubles of the world?
Yeah.
Because is this a past? And then I was just saying, like, no, I just know that if I choose a reaction, if I choose a perspective, then it's like I'm, you know, everything that is associated with that reaction is now upon me, and
yes,
now I'm responsible for it in a way.
Yeah.
And I was like, that just seems dumb. you know?
Yeah, I gave up fighting with people about politics in particular.
Yeah.
I used to get angry a lot and rant just like everybody else does. And I don't anymore, but it's not that I'm not sad or angry or frustrated with how things are. When I see something that is, like Ross mentioned, you know, seeing a child being abused, mm-hmm. I see abuse everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when you take this path, you see suffering. It doesn't go away. It just amplifies. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this isn't about running away from reality. This is seeing it for what it is. It's painful.
And it's interesting what Michael was saying. I did read one time Challenger folks were like, what would an enlightened person be like? And she said she's never really met one, but she probably thinks they might be quite dull or annoying.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, can we just pick something off the menu?
I just had a further thought about the people that you were referring to who come to the Zendo for a time and then move away and move on. And my thought was, if they continue to keep moving, I found that it's more likely than not that the problem that, the solution that they're looking for is really not nowhere, that because they keep moving the problem from one place to another.
Yeah, wherever you are, there you are. So, yes. Yeah. But I'm not making any judgment about it. And I'm not making a global statement that everybody who comes and goes is doing that by any means. But I did have some personal experience of one or two people who were very close and then disappeared. And it was for that reason. I wasn't giving them what they wanted. And that's okay. Maybe they'll find it somewhere else. I'm not, no judgment. Okay. That's just an example of how it was as close as I could come to an actual example of someone moving on from your life because they're not getting what they want from you. Relationships, you know, marriages fall apart the same way. Yeah. It's, you know, you could be married for 30 years and then all of a sudden it's not doing it for you anymore. What can I tell you?
Do you find that people come here often to get a form of therapy? And then when it's kind of the emptiness of it, do they go like, well, that's not exactly what us.
Yeah, this doesn't help it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find that you get that?
Yeah. Well, not so much with Zen because they're not going to find it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I've been in other spiritual groups where it was more like that. Mm. People are wounded and they come there like for therapy, yes. Mm. Hopefully not so much. But on the other hand, we are a Sangha and we're here to help each other. But we're not therapy.
Right, right.
So you do have to kind of define, you know, your boundaries. I hear you. It's true. I mean, although it appears as though I'm pretty loosey and goosey about Zen, you know, I'm not wearing these black robes and forcing everyone to march to a particular drum, but I'm very serious about my Zen practice. And so I think it shows in how I'm not going to verge off the path. You know, we're not going to start doing Sufi dancing in the Zendo.
Oh.
There's other places you can go for that. And as much as I like yoga and all and Sufi dancing, there's places to go for that. This is what we do here. So sometimes people just don't, you know, they would rather do yoga. Who cares? It's fine. Are we good?
Is that the real reason they left? Was the Sufi dancing?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't.
Well, I find that this is difficult, at least for me, because there's no distraction. It's either you're here now or you're someplace else in your head or listening to somebody else's song or whatever. But here, we don't do that. So I got to deal with me right here, right now.
Yeah. Very good. Well, I'm glad you all keep showing up. Thank you so much. My life would not work the same way if it wasn't for each one of you. So thank you so much. Thank you for being here.